Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, good morning, John. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. Just I'm enjoying that we're in spring football because it's better than no football. And just trying to think about what we're putting together here. What's on your mind?
I've actually been thinking about something, a couple of things. The first one is pertaining to the quarterback competition that never fails to be an ongoing conversation, that it doesn't matter who's in the quarterback room. It seems like at Notre Dame, it's just as the world turns, or as the football turns, whatever the hell.
Yeah.
What I want to bring up is an interesting thought. You mentioned before that Gouldsby, in a conversation you had with him, that he had mentioned Sam Hartman told Buckner, that Sam Hartman had told Tyler Buckner that Sam Hartman had been promised the starting job, and he told him that after or during spring, and that led to Tyler Buckner deciding to kick rocks. Here's just a thought. I have nothing to base this on other than just pure conjecture, but what if, because Buckner was outperforming him in spring, Hartman told him that, not because it was true, but because he was worried about he was worried about Buckner beating him out.
Oh.
So he decided, you know what?
Oh. We got a juicy.
I'm going to throw some shade on this.
Yeah, we got
this guy up off my back.
We got a juicy conspiracy here, a theory here. That would be like disappointing, man. Like you would hope, you know, all that nice guy stuff with Hartman. It's like, oh, he wasn't elite, but at least he was a good dude around here, whatever. That would change that perception. I would hope that didn't happen. And the other thing is, listen, I know everybody wants pure competition for these spots. You got to admit, it doesn't have to be spoken. If you're paying one guy a whole bunch of money to come here, doesn't that kind of indicate to you the direction they want to go without it ever having to actually be said? I just think that's a real thing. When you bring a guy in here on the money deal for 1 year, doesn't that kind of dictate to you without it being said where they want to go?
No. And here's the reason why. The coaching staff isn't making a decision on paying them the money. The coaching staff is saying, you know, here's a guy that we like, that we want to bring in. Somebody else is making the decision as far as, hey, what's it going to take to get you here? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but you don't think those are connected though? Like Brady Quinn and the money arm of this, it aren't doing stuff without running it all through the football staff first.
Maybe now they can be, but when the decision was made to bring in Riley Leonard, the coaching staff couldn't be a part of that decision-making process. They had to be completely removed from it per NCAA rules, and I really, really doubt
right.
that Notre Dame was willing to skirt line. They might be willing to do that now because the NCAA has ruled that, hey, you can do whatever. There's no rules, you know, preventing it kind of thing. But at that point in time, there were specific rules that schools in general couldn't be a part of the NIL deals and the collectives.
I think in theory, I think you're right, but I don't think in practicality that's how it goes. If you don't think there was, if you don't think there was back channels between Notre Dame and Riley Leonard before he entered the portal, and this was all a done deal before he entered the portal, like, dude, that's how this goes now.
Oh, yeah.
By the time a guy hits the portal, it's a done deal.
That's different than the money aspect. You know what I mean? There can be decisions made. Hey, we're in contact with his people, meaning the recruiting staff is in contact with his people, and they're going ahead and targeting him, saying, hey, as soon as this portal opens, we like you. We want to bring you in. In other words, they're not in direct contact with him because that's tampering, but they're in contact with people adjacent to him. And they've got the collective knows who the as far as the coaching staff has interest in. So the collective is in contact with his people saying, hey, this is the money aspect of it. The coaching staff, as far as the recruiting office, is in contact with his people. This is what we're looking at. You see what I'm saying? So it's not the aspect of the coaching staff saying, if you come to Notre Dame, you've got a starting spot. You see what I'm saying? It's a little bit more nuanced than that. But the reason why the coaching staff just can't just outright tell a guy, hey, you come here, you got a starting spot, and it's because we're paying you. The reason why that can't be done is then you become no different than Texas A&M. And look at the hot, toxic mess that became.
Yeah. See, that's where you end up.
You see what I'm saying?
That's where you end up in a very tricky spot, right? Like that because these guys don't want to come here on a one-year deal their final year and then not play. But you also don't want to promise a guy a job because you kill all the competition in your own program. Like Freeman could never get up there in spring and go, oh, it's Riley Leonard and he's our guy. Because what message are you sending to the rest of those quarterbacks? But at the same time, the money hints to you what direction they want to go, whether it's set or not. That's kind of my point. That is an unstated message it sends of like where their mind's at. That's, you know.
Well, the simple aspect is, yeah, we would like Riley Leonard to be the starter. But if Riley Leonard goes out there in practice and he looks okay, but Kenny Minchie looks like, damn, this guy's on a whole different level. How stupid are they if they decide, well, no, we paid $1.2 right. million dollars for Riley Leonard. We got to start him over Minchie. It doesn't matter if Minchie looks like he could be another Jaden Daniels, but damn, we paid that $1 million. Right. And some change.
Now, here's my question.
Nothing we can do. Our hands are tied.
Here's my question.
That's the road you go down if you play it that way.
The question I have is, what? Mm-hmm. How much better than Riley Leonard would one of these other quarterbacks have to perform this spring to jump him? That's my question.
It would have to be to where a reasonable person who knows football can see what they call, you know, we've all heard it, the eye test. You know, if a reasonable person who knows football, who knows quarterbacking, can look and see that there's a clear difference.
Yeah.
That's the point when it's not one of those where one guy's got upside and another guy. It's not one of those where, hey, this guy's got a better game in this way, but this other guy, it's not one of those things where it's kind of like, you know, somebody's better in this way, but another guy is better in this way. That way, there's too much, you know, what do you call it, in play there for it to be a matter of, you know, perhaps maybe, you know, after four or five starts, this guy could end up being better. It's got to be one of those where it's unquestionable. This dude's just better. And that's all it is.
Yeah. Man, these conversations make me a little uncomfortable. And the reason why is I'm an old school guy. I want it to be spring and everybody's on an equal playing field and everybody gets an equal chance to show what they could do and run the offense. And then whoever the best, most effective guy is that the guys rally around should get that job. Like, that's what's in my pure football heart. I just think in the modern age, it's a lot more complicated than that. And that's really, really tough and tricky. And and I don't like thinking just because you pay the money, that guy's going to be the starter. But when it comes down to it, I think the guy you're paying the money is going to be the starter. Like, if Riley Leonard's healthy, he's going to be the starter. I just don't think anything that happens this spring is going to change that. I don't. I just don't think that. I think that's the path. Is that the best way to do it? I don't know. Are the other guys better than him? I don't know. That's just how I see it happening. It is uncomfortable to me, though. I don't like money getting... I don't like feeling like money's getting in the, having an influence over the depth chart, but I admit money's in some ways having an influence over the depth chart. It just is. I'm not saying it's right.
The best way to approach it, and you hope the coaching staff does this, no matter what fans say, you know, we as fans, no matter what we say, the hope is that the coaching staff recognizes that there's a difference between these guys getting paid because their name, image, and likeness is being used to promote the game. That's the whole reason for the NIL. We use their name, image, and likeness to promote the game. So therefore, they're getting broken off a piece.
Right.
The coaching staff, if they can divorce that from who starts and who plays whatever, that's the best situation to be in. The problem is that some of these schools, the collectives, and before it was collectives, it was the guys meeting in a back room at, you know, whatever restaurant and handing over bags of cash. Those booster supporters, whatever, were getting in coaching staff's ears like, hey, how come my guy's not starting? I paid you this amount of, or I paid him this amount of money.
Right.
You know, I want to see some fruition on that, you know?
Yeah, here's what...
The hope is that Notre Dame doesn't allow that. You know, the hope is that Notre Dame is smart enough not to let itself go down that road.
Yeah, here's the danger. They're making progress with NIL at Notre Dame. Yeah, Brady Quinn in charge of that checkbook from that end of it. And that's somebody I trust to have a modern gauge of realities here. So with him in charge of the fund, doing a lot of this signing off and negotiating, I asked Goolsby, I said, how does this go? And he said, if you pony up $1 million or whatever it is for Hartman or Riley Leonard, and you scrounge up that money from the donors to get this guy, and you pitch them that this is an important part of making the team successful, and then he doesn't start, the next time you go back to that group and ask for another $1 million for a player, they're going to go, well, you didn't even use the guy that you made us pay for last time. We're not doing this. We didn't get any ROI on our money. That's the problem you run into if you don't go with the guy. You got to make a pitch to get that money. And then if you do that and don't play the guy, the next time you go back to the well, they're going to go, we gave you money last time, and the guy's holding the clipboard. We're not giving you money again.
That's why.
That's the problem. I hate all this. This is not what college football is supposed to be about. I'm throwing a hissy fit. I don't like it. This is not a discussion I want to have about college football, but here we are. I don't like it. I don't love it.
University and the program has to have an understanding with the people who are contributing money. This money is going to pay the players because they deserve to be paid. You have no say in who starts or who doesn't, and you have to be okay with that.
Yeah, it makes me uncomfortable. And I don't like this, man. I mean, I agree with what you're saying in theory. I just don't know. I don't know the mechanics of this behind the scenes. I have really tried to figure out how much is promised to these guys about, and I don't have that information. Now, let me ask this. Let me turn this discussion into the future. See if you agree with me. I think Notre Dame's long-term success is going to be best served with a homegrown quarterback that grows at Notre Dame with the coaches and his teammates and matriculates through the life of a Notre Dame quarterback. I just feel that's a more stable place for Notre Dame to compete. Hitch your wagon to a guy you really like and trust with big upside. Let the team all grow together. And I really, tell me if you agree, I hope this is the last year we're doing this portal thing and we can find one of our own guys to hitch a wagon to moving forward. I just think that's going to be a more consistent path for Notre Dame.
I thought it was a mistake bringing in Sam Hartman. I thought it was a bigger mistake bringing in Riley Leonard. I've been on message boards telling people you're over evaluating Sam Hartman. He's not going to be as good as you think he is. One, he played in a gimmicky offense. His play at Wake Forest isn't going to translate. It's a completely different offense. It's not going to translate. He's dealing with a first time OC. There's just too much new, you know, and that bore fruit, you know. And then Riley Leonard, he's not some spectacular quarterback who's like, you know, lighting the world on fire at Duke. He's got good upside. He's got intangibles that you can win games with him. But is it that much better than what you've got as far as guys on the roster? And that's the problem. I feel like they're mortgaging the future in order to win now. But if you're not winning a national championship now,
yeah.
The hell is the point?
See, that's the argument. That's always been my argument. If you're doing a one-year rental, then you got to get big results to make it worth giving up any development and coming together as a group with a guy that you're going to build experience with moving forward. That's the give and take. These are one-year deals. If you don't win big, then there's no development with the team or anything because the guy's gone. And that's the frustration we had with a part of the frustration with Hartman. You did that and you didn't get the results. And now we're starting kind of at ground zero.
I tell you what, I was on your show a week or two ago, and I said that you had asked me what's the floor as far as, you know, what would be acceptable as far as the bottom line for the season. I was saying, as long as they show progress, but the more I think about it, because that would be the case if they went ahead and were starting, they just picked a guy, Angeli Menchikar, and just, you know, rolled one of them out there. Hey, he doesn't have starting experience, but this is our guy. We're going to roll with him and see where it goes. Then it would be just show progress. But since they went out and got Riley Leonard, and if he actually ends up proving to be the starter, meaning they've determined this is the best guy among the bunch, he has no eligibility after this, so we're going all in for this season, then it has to be make the playoff, and it has to be if you're not winning a first round game in the playoffs, it has to be you're playing the national champion in the first round and you just got beat by the national champion and you look competitive. I'm not talking 2020 Alabama, yeah. Get smoked and everybody's wondering what the hell were they doing in that game. It can't be 2012 where everybody's knowing before you even step on the damn field that you're going to get freaking blown off the field.
Yeah. Yeah. It's this is a good conversation. I agree with you, like where your sense of justice is kind of with all this. I totally agree with you. I just know it gets really complicated. And the more I hear behind the scenes about all this NIL and the negotiations and the different, it's really complicated. And I don't love it, and it makes me uncomfortable. It's just things are a lot more complicated than the good old days where there's three quarterbacks and the best one gets to play. It's just more complicated than that. That's all I'm saying.
Why? You know why that is?
Because money corrupts and ruins everything that we like. That's why.
well, even more. The heart of it is the NCAA sat on its hands, refused to do its damn job and take control of a sport.
That's true.
And allowed
the
networks and the conferences to roll them over. And now the NCAA is being bent over the desk while the SEC and the Big Ten tag team the NCAA. Look at your sport now, bitch. You know what I mean? That's what they're doing.
Yep.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Yeah, you're right, man. Listen, I totally understand where you're coming from, and some of this feels icky to me, and I don't like it either. I just know that money has influence, whether it's stated or unstated. That amount has an influence. Mm-hmm. That and you could say that's not right. I just think it's a reality. And then let me wrap up with this. Good call on a Friday. 419, you're coming up next. I just think that if you identify a guy like Riley Leonard, you come up with that money and you get him. And that's kind of where your mind's at for starting quarterback. I'm saying you could kind of set things up in the spring to prop the guy up that you want to be the guy. Like, you can kind of dictate things to go the way you kind of want them to go without being obvious about it in spring. Like, there's a part of that too.
Yeah, you're talking about basically steering the ship. In other words, you have the guise of it's an open competition.
That's kind of what I'm getting at. Yes.
Kind of got your thumb on the scale.
That's kind of what I'm saying. How maybe, you shape it. Yeah. How you kind of shape that. Whether that be reps or what kind of protection you have versus another guy. Like, there's a framework there. And I get it. Everybody hates this. I get it. I'm not defending that this is the way it's going. I'm telling you it's the way it's going. Don't make me think. It's not that I'm saying this is what I think is right or how it should go. I'm telling you what it is. Those are different things. Dr. John commented saying, come on, John, you're going to pay the guy and then you're going to pay the guy. And then, you know, if he's not that good, you're going to play him anyways. It's not, there's not going to be a situation where they set this up to where one of the other guys clearly outshines Riley Leonard and it's undeniable. That's what I'm telling you. That's not going to be what the spring set up to show because they don't want it to, I don't think. It's not right. I'm just telling you how this thing goes when there's money involved.
For that to happen, it would have to be one of those things where Riley Leonard ends up with the yips and he just he's just completely inept at playing football. You know what I mean? He would have to have such a regression from what we saw playing at Duke that it's like, okay, he's not even functional for an offense, you know?
Yeah.
In order for them to decide, like you're saying, for them to decide that we're going to go in a completely different direction, because the bigger problem there is, you know, when I think about it, as I'm fleshing this out, you know, in my mind, the bigger problem is if they go ahead and decide to go with somebody else other than Carr, and to some extent Minshew, but really, these quarterbacks aren't fully this coaching staff's guys. You know what I mean? They didn't fully evaluate these guys and decide, you know, these are the guys we want in our quarterback room. It's kind of what this, you know, what they've, for lack of a better word, what's just been, you know, well, this is the room you've got kind of thing. So the problem is that, you know, Riley Leonard is their guy. This is the guy that they've evaluated and decided, hey, this is the guy we want. So if he ends up not panning out, then it begs the question, what the hell are they doing? Do they really know how to evaluate quarterback?
Yeah.
And so you've got the guys they got coming in, Deuce Knight in 2025, and then whoever in 2026 and beyond, it's like, it begins to beg the question, do they really know how to evaluate quarterbacks? If they couldn't get it right with, well, who are they getting it right with?
Yeah, nope. Hey, that's a good point. This is a great discussion. It's a really complicated one. It's an uncomfortable one. I don't like having it. And I don't like admitting the money has something to do with this, but it does. It just does. And I don't like it. I'm just saying this is the way it is.
I'll tell you how this is going to go. It doesn't matter if they start Riley Leonard, if they start somebody else, or, you know, whatever happens. One third of the fan base is going to be happy. One third of the fan base is going to be pissed off. And one third of the fan base isn't going to be happy either way it goes, because they are still pissed off that Notre Dame hasn't won a national championship. So no matter what Marcus Freeman, the coaching staff, does, they're going to have a problem with it, because there is no national championship trophy in the trophy case.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I really appreciate this call. It's really complicated stuff. Yep. I totally understand exactly where you're coming from. It's complicated, and I don't love it, but it's the modern realities, man. And they need to, the bottom line is they got to get this right. You need to make sure you line up this pecking order at quarterback the right way, so you don't play the wrong guy and the right guys are on the bench and then they're mad and they leave and then you're in a bad spot and that quarterback room folds. That's what you can't have happen here.
That's been my fear. I've heard you talk about it, and that's been my fear, is that they start Riley Leonard, Minshew, or Angeli transfers, and one of them is actually the guy who proves to be the right guy for the future, but he's on the roster of another team, and then you watch him ball out, and you're like, well, he could have been here.
Yeah.
That's my fear.
Man, it's just, it's a very complicated discussion. Hey, man, thanks for giving me a call on a Friday there. I like that thesis, good delivery on a complicated discussion. I appreciate that, man.
Hey, I always enjoy your show. I try to catch it as often as I can, usually listening on the podcast playback. So,
well, thank you, man.
It's always great. And I try to continue calling in every once in a while.
There you go, man. I appreciate it a lot. Come up with another theory, man. Give me a call back with the thesis. Thank you. Have a good weekend.
All righty.
Take care.
Take care.
That got deep. Dude, I understand nobody likes this. I understand nobody likes this. I'm just telling you the realities. 1 year ago, I was sitting in this exact same seat, listening to everybody tell me that Buckner was outplaying Hartman, and that was the talk of the spring. I was sitting in this exact same seat a year ago to the day. And what I told everybody is, cool, awesome. Write all your articles about that. And then Sam Hartman's going to be the starter. Like, I'm sorry. That was just the way it was going to be. Oh, John, were you going to take back what you said? Because I'm hearing Buckner's out playing Hartman. And then I said, I don't care what they tell you in spring. Hartman's going to be the starter if he's healthy. I'm sorry. It's just, You don't set this stuff up unless you really have a strong inclination of how you are going to make it kind of go. I watched the spring game and Tyler looked like crap. End of discussion. The problem with that was Tyler was already packed heading to Alabama. If you're wondering why he looked completely out of sorts, it's because he was already packing for Alabama and he was checked out, going through the motions. So I don't know. $5 Olive from the B1 rotate. Thank you very much. Whoever said Stays is better than Evans should be locked up and studied. I thought he could have been a good weapon, and I'm just a little frustrated that he left. Thank you for the $5 holler, though. I do appreciate that. Let's see. So because of the money, you choose to lose. Here's the thing, Dr. John. You don't go get Riley Leonard if you think you have the next quarterback that could start and he's good enough in-house already. Some of this evaluation's already taken place. And you know CJ Carr's a freshman and you want him to preserve a year. So that's out. And then you have Minchie, who's done really nothing because he hasn't had playing time. And then Steve, who's done a really good job in mop-up duty, but not as a starter. Like, you can't act like this is all starting from ground zero. These guys entered the portal with judgments on those other guys already. And that's what made him say, we need to go to the portal to get a guy that's more reliable and has proven more. It's not an equal evaluation starting at ground zero. You don't go do all this if you're already confident one of the guys in-house can be the starter. You don't do this because it messes everything up that way. You're sending a message about your evaluation already when you do this. That's the message. It lets you know you're not starting from ground zero, or you wouldn't do this. Here's the other thing you guys need to accept. This is not popular. You need to accept this. Steve Angeli is the least talented quarterback on this roster. Straight up. I don't know what it's going to take for people to understand that. Physically speaking, Angeli's the least gifted guy in that room. That doesn't mean he might not be a better quarterback at this point than some of the other guys. Follow me here. I'm not saying he can't play quarterback and operate the system as well. He is the least physically gifted guy in that room. He does not have CJ Carr's natural gifts. He does not have Minchie's natural arm. I don't know. John makes this statement and we've never seen Minchie and Carr play. I know the gifts we're working with. It's not, dude, Notre Dame people are way too comfortable settling with traits and RKG and intangibles and toughness and a name that sounds like peanut butter that everybody likes. You got to reach a little higher than that. I'm just telling you, you can disagree with me all you want. Angeli is the least physically gifted guy in that room. He may be further down the road of operating an offense. I'm not saying that. That's a different discussion. But physical gifts, least talented guy in the room with the smallest ceiling. High floor, low ceiling. So I'll say exactly what I said last year about the Hartman thing. I don't care what happens this spring. If everybody's healthy, Riley Leonard's the starter. Deal with it. And if I'm wrong, everybody can roast me. That's how I'm just telling you now, that's how it's going to go. I don't care what report comes out of practice. I don't care if Angeli was throwing backwards passes and completing them all 80 yards. If everybody's healthy, Riley Leonard's going to be the starter.